Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the homily today is called Salvation is a Partnership. The gospel I'm referencing is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Let's begin. Salvation is a partnership. We cannot do it alone, and God can't do it without us. As much as we wish it were the case, God forces no one into heaven. We know that God desperately loves each and every one of us, and it is his will that all people should be saved. In fact, that is the whole point of Christmas. He sent his son into the world to save us. But God never forces us to follow his will for our salvation. It is up to us to make that conscious choice ourselves. Now, that is why God's greatest gift to humanity is freedom. Some of you might be familiar with the Baltimore Catechism, sometimes called the Penny Catechism, where it says, God made us to know, love, and serve him in this world and be happy with him forever in the next. But in order to truly love God, we have to be free. It cannot be forced out of us. For example, I could make a human-looking robot, implant it with ChatGPT, and tell it to love me all day long. But at the end of the day, we all know that it is only doing what it is programmed to do. It has no real choice, and so it is not true love. True freedom, then, gives us the ability to love God and to love our neighbor authentically. But it also gives us the ability to do precisely the opposite. And that's the problem. We can choose to go against God. We can choose to sin. It is a free choice available to us. And that's what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. And that is what Jesus came at Christmas time to fix about our broken humanity. See, today's gospel, it brings us to the beginning of the Christian story, which is 9 months before the birth of Jesus. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, it tells us the story of how salvation was made possible by a perfect partnership between God and humanity. See, God invites Mary to cooperate in his plan by becoming the mother of the Savior. Now, Mary could have just as easily used her freedom to say no. She could have said, look, God, I appreciate the offer, but Joseph and I are on a pretty good wicket at the moment, and I don't want to throw a spanner in the works. But she didn't. Despite probably feeling confused, scared, overwhelmed, Mary said, yes. More specifically, she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let what you have said be done to me. In this moment, Mary took her human gift of freedom and united it perfectly to the divine will of God. Mary's yes reversed Eve's no and allowed her son Jesus to begin doing the work of undoing Adam's fall. Now, doing God's will is not always easy. In fact, it rarely is. It can blindside us. It can come out of nowhere and upset all of our plans. I know this because this happened to me. I was happily studying psychology with the hopes of a wife, kids, career, success, and then God, out of nowhere, called me to the priesthood. I wasn't expecting it. I could have never been aware of it. Unlike Mary, it took me over 4 years to finally say yes and begin actively on that journey of pursuing the priesthood. But every single time that any of us say yes to God's will, it not only helps them as an individual grow closer to God, but it also helps those around them move towards their salvation. For example, holy spouses help each other to heaven. Holy parents help their children to heaven. Holy priests help their parish to heaven. Holy Mary helped the entire world. Here's a quote from Pope Benedict XVI, expressing to us this partnership that God wants between us and him. He says, therefore, though it is God who takes the initiative of coming to dwell in the midst of men, and he is always the main architect of this plan, it is also true that he does not want to carry it out without our active cooperation. Therefore, to prepare for Christmas means to commit oneself to build God's dwelling with men. In other words, salvation is ultimately the work of God, but we are his partners. Each of us has a role to play in saying yes to the will of God. Now, in today's first reading, King David gets this relationship backwards. It's a bit of a tutorial on what not to do. David thinks that he is the senior partner in this relationship with God. We heard it in the reading today. Once David had settled into his house, and the Lord had given him a rest from all the enemies surrounding him, King David said to the prophet Nathan, look, I am living in a house of cedar, while the Ark of God dwells in a tent. Now we have to ask ourselves what's happening in this scene, especially in David's attitude. David had just spent 2 decades trying to survive, desperately fighting wars to protect himself and save the Israelite people from the Philistine invaders. He's finally conquered the enemy and settled into his opulent palace. Now, kicking back in the throne room, David gets to thinking that he's here in this huge palace while the Ark of the Covenant, the place where the God of Israel dwells, is outside in a tent. So David thinks he's going to do God a favor, to do God a solid and build him a house. Now, how does God respond to David's seemingly good intentions? Well, it's actually quite amusing. God says to David, "Who are you to build me a house? Remember, I'm the one who took you from being a shepherd boy and made you king. I'm the one who has led you on every journey. I'm the one who gave you victory in every battle, established the peace that you now enjoy." God gently reminds David in no uncertain terms who is in charge of the partnership of Israel's salvation. God turns the table on David and says, "Look here, buddy, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house." And by a house, he meant a kingdom and a family that would last forever. And sure enough, 1,000 years later on Christmas Day, the new king was born in the line of David, and his throne will last forever. So what's the message here? I think sometimes in our pride, we can make the mistake of thinking that we are doing God a favor by praying or serving or giving to charity. Now, these things are beautiful, but they're not beautiful because God needs them and we're providing them. Rather, they are beautiful because each time we pray or give or love, we are saying yes to God's will for our salvation and the salvation of those around us. David only thinks of making a place for God in peace and retirement, but God reminds David that he was there every step of the way through decades of hard work, pain, and strife, leading him and guiding him towards his salvation, not the other way around. So as Christmas approaches, let us invite God into our lives at whatever stage we're at. God is not an afterthought reserved for Sundays, but a constant presence in our lives, our families, our work, our relationships. Let us learn from Mary's example, whose yes turned her life completely upside down. Let us bravely unite our gift of freedom to the divine will of God. Let us pray more, let us give more, let us serve more, let us love more. And every time we do, we fulfill our role as God's partners in his plan for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Thank you so much for listening to The Average Shepherd. If you want to help me spread the word and this podcast, you can do so by sharing it with a friend or family member who you think might benefit. Thank you, and God bless.